do like reading in Romans, but when you study in Romans, new things show. So it's not about just reading, it's about studying. And Pastor Steve has spoken to us regularly about that, and he is a real encourager of the study, because study is much more than reading. You can read, and you can finish, and you won't have digested a single thing. And that's sort of why I never really grew up liking reading, because at school it was boring. It was really boring at school, and some of the books that we read at school were so boring. Why did you want to hear about Jonathan John playing with a ball? It's not that exciting, that, is it really? And that switched me off reading. But this has turned me on to reading, because this book is a brilliant book. It's the best book. It has got so much in this book that I am so switched on to reading these days. And that's bad of me as a teacher. I've said it before, as a teacher, I should really be into reading. But you want something hard and something good and something juicy. And if you want something that's got juice in it and life in it, go to his word, because it is just so wonderful. So Romans, I do like to read it. It's not Jonathan John, it's much meatier than that. Whoa. So today we are going to go to verse 8 and we're going to read it together. So we're still in chapter 1 and we're going to read from verse 8. Oh, praise God. First, I thank you, my God, through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and without ceasing. I mention you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. So he's speaking to Rome, and he had a desire, Paul, to go to Rome. He had a desire within him to go to Rome. And we're going to read that first verse just one more time together, and we're going to take it a verse at a time, just as we have been doing, which is why we are going through it so slowly. But there's so much within each verse. First, I thank you, my God, through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And what I liked about this verse as I really unpicked it was Paul begins in this verse with thanksgiving. He has thanksgiving in his heart, not for numbers, not for buildings, not for influence, but he says thanks for the faith. Thank you for your faith, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He is saying thanks for their faith. You see, their faith had a voice, and that faith had travelled. It was visible to others. People could see it. It was tangible faith that was being talked about. The kind of faith that Paul was talking about was faith that speaks beyond the church walls. You see, friends, biblical faith is never private only. When Christ is at work in his people, others notice it. Faith shapes how we live. It shapes how we speak. It shapes how we act. It shapes how we suffer. It shapes how we love, and it shapes how we endure. Amen. Faith shapes us. And it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, we know this verse well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Kenneth Hagin preaches about faith, and we heard some of that preaching on Wednesday just gone, and I didn't know that was going to happen on Wednesday, and I'd already started to study and to read some of Kenneth Hagin's work. But faith that Kenneth Hagin talks about is the faith that gives substance. It gives substance. Kenneth Hagin refers to it as an active faith. Faith is acting upon God's word. It was this kind of faith that Paul was talking about in Romans. This is what the people he's writing about were known for. It was an active faith. They were listening to God. They were listening to his word. They had faith in God. And it was being talked about. Isn't it great? I really like that. And it got me thinking about our church. And people do talk about our church, you know. They do talk about our church. They must be able to see our faith. Can your family members see your faith? Can your friends see your faith? Can your work colleagues see your faith? Now, some of you might be sat there and you might be thinking, I'm not sure actually, because sometimes I'm a bit flashy and I'm a bit, ooh, ooh, ooh. But how are you acting in those circumstances of life? Are you standing strong and firm? Or are you being jelly-like, as we've taught before? But the faith that Paul was talking about was a robust faith. It was an active faith and it was a strong faith. And it came as a reminder to me that faith is much beyond this building. It's much beyond our church. It's much beyond Sunday. Faith can preach without a pulpit. We can walk away, we can go out. I'm a pastor in a church now, but I go into a workplace, I go into the shops, I go to my family. I have non-believers in my family, but I take that faith with me wherever I go. And that's what the people that Paul was talking about did. It was a strong faith. And you know, it was an obedient faith, an obedience that can echo further than we think. And when people are talking about living faith, that's what they're seeing, a living faith. Something in the name, friends. It's a living faith, a living, active faith that we have got. Amen. Because friends, God uses ordinary people like us. Ordinary people to make his name known. Yeah? How? Through faith. Through our faith. So just ask yourselves this morning, as we consider that verse in Romans, ask yourselves, what kind of faith are you known for? What kind of faith are you known for? Not just on a Sunday, showing that you're turning up for church. But what are you known for on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday? What are you known for on those other days of the week? Is it a strong faith? And some of you may sit there this morning, you might be thinking now, do you know, I remember a time when. Anybody got a testimony that they'd like to share this morning about when your faith has been seen by others? Does anybody want to share this morning?
Praise God. Anybody that hears my story coming down to this country with just £250 with family of three, and I'm going to spend almost £60,000 for my school fees, we think like, are you crazy? How are you going to do it? And from the beginning, my faith was not so that strong compared to my husband. My husband would just say, God will do it. Let's go. So we arrived to this country. We got an apartment. There was no bed. It was empty. We were sleeping on the bare floor. And we keep on going. So when we meet some of our African community and they shared some of their problems to us, we just look at and we smile. Say, why are you smiling? Say, what you're passing through is like 1% of what you are passing through. Then we share a little bit for them. They say, oh, your faith is so strong. And you are looking like this as if nothing is happening to you. Say, God is on our side. and we believe that it's going to make every correct way straight, anything that concerns us. And to the glory of God today, we have our own house, we have our own car. God has made it possible for us. So people see us and say, your faith is giving us. So we, anytime we face challenge, I've said that I'm not giving back, God. Our life have been a testimony, so we are holding up to you to do more for us. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. What a beautiful testimony. Anybody else want to share this morning?
I remember when my daughter had a friend in school, and I hadn't met her mum, and she came one day to meet me, and I gave her a hug, and straight away she said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, how did you know?" And she said, "I knew by your hug, the warmth of your hug, that you had faith in Jesus."
Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Faith in a hug, that is beautiful. Beautiful. Let's move to verse 9. So verse 9, this is where we see that Paul has a life, and it's anchored in prayerful service. So verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers." God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. And here in this verse, I feel that Paul really is connecting that service and prayer. And you see, Paul doesn't serve God merely outwardly or religiously. He serves with his spirit. It says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." And who is his spirit? It's the Holy Spirit within him. The Holy Spirit within him. The gospel of his Son through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit living within him. Paul shows us here that he has wholehearted devotion. Wholehearted devotion. It's not duty. It's not busyness. It's not public ministry. It's love. And it's intimacy. And it's prayerful ministry to the people of Rome. It's full and utter devotion to God's work. And Paul's ministry flowed from a deep inner life with God. You can feel that when you read those words. "With my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers." It flowed through the spirit within him. And you see, friends, I want to encourage you all this morning through that verse that God isn't impressed by activity. No. You could be the busiest person in this church. But God will delight in those who have authentic devotion, an authentic faith. And what you do for him really does matter. But how you do it matters just as much. It's how you do it. If you're doing it as a chore, and it's hard work, and it's an effort, I can't really be bothered, but I've said I'll do this. I'm signing up to it, but I can't really be bothered. No, that's not true devotion. That's not true devotion. It's the unseen things that often have the biggest effect. And it's the unseen things that often matter. It's the people that come and quietly clean without making a big exhibition of it. They've signed up to do a duty, and they're doing it within the church, and they're doing it with honour and with grace. It's the small things often that happen in daily life. Some small act of kindness sometimes, isn't it? That you may be walking down the street and you see somebody drop the wallet. It's the unseen things, and you don't make a big fuss about it, but you're just acting with love and care for others. Because you are a Christian, you are a believer, and that is what we are breeding in this community. Love and kindness, grace. Paul said that he prayed, and that without ceasing, he mentioned them always in his prayers. not seeing things, what goes on in his quiet time, in his prayers, in his one-to-one time with the Lord, without ceasing. And it's those times that the Lord looks down and he really smiles. I do believe that those quiet moments that you have with him that no one else knows about, that you've not shared with a single soul, nobody else knows, it's those quiet moments, those precious times with him. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 10. We're not doing bad, actually, are we? We're not doing bad. We'll move to verse 10. Making request, if by any means, now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. Now, Paul, he longed to visit Rome, but he submitted that desire to the will of God. So he wanted to go. He had a desire to go. But he made sure that it was in line with God's will that he would be going. He wasn't going to do anything that was against his will. And very often in the human, we've got a desire to do something. We've got a desire. Might have a desire to buy a new car, Ian. Me and Ian have conversations about cars regularly, don't we? And my husband's just bought a Mini and he's doing it up in the garage. It's all rusty underneath, he's now found, and it's coming to a big project. But he had a desire to get that car. But he's bought that car and there's rust and he's got to have a bigger project now. And maybe it's because he wasn't doing it in God's will that he's ended up with a bit of a rust bucket underneath, who knows. But my point is this, that we do things in God's will. And I did actually buy a car, and I made sure that car that I bought was in God's will. It was God's will. And I've shared the testimony of that God actually showed me a beautiful sign, and there was a rainbow right over the top of the car as I turned onto the forecourt. It was there, and it was the only car that was tilted on an axle. And it was there. And John had already seen it, but I'd prayed, Lord, I only want to buy that car if it is your will. And there it was, and we bought it, and it's been a good car since. But Paul longed to visit. He had a desire, and he wanted to ensure that he submitted that desire to God's will. And that's what we should do when we have those desires, friends, ensure it's in line with his will, with his word. And I thought on this, you see, this is so mature, isn't it? This is mature. This is a mature believer. Paul was a mature believer. He was ensuring that everything he was doing was in line with God's will. He was asking boldly, yet he was trusting fully. And Paul teaches us through this verse that it's right to desire good things, but it's wise to surrender the timing. And I thought on that, and I reflected on that, and I went back to that verse, and I went back to that verse, and then I read further in Romans, and I went back to Acts, and then I went back to Romans again, and I went further into Hebrews, and I really studied around that point. It's wise to surrender the timing, and that's what Paul did. In Acts, he surrendered to God's will. And in Hebrews, we read about faith. And it's all about surrendering to God's will and having faith in him and his timing. And God's delays, friends, in our lives are not God's denials. There may be a delay. We're always rush, 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 aren't we? Rush, rush, rush in life. We want that outcome. But God's delays are not always God's denials. But we should take it to him in faith, in prayer, and ensure that it is in line with his will and his word. We read in much of Paul's teachings, and I've mentioned Acts as well, but in much of Paul's teachings, examples of his faith in God's will. And he trusted in his timing at all times. It was God's timing in his will that he would return to Antioch. We read that in Acts, and it is so clear. We've probably not got time this morning now to go to all of these scriptures. But as Paul waited to travel and to be led by the Lord, we see of his faith, his trust, and his obedience in God's will. Paul desired to go to Rome, but he wasn't going to go unless it was God's will. And Rome came. But it came in a different way, as we know. Wasn't how Paul expected. I'm sure that Paul had this image of he'd go and he'd be free and he'd be able to preach. But Rome came, and as we know, he went. And he was in chains. And he was in the prison. But it didn't stop him preaching. And that was God's will. So he still went to Rome. Not the way that maybe he expected. You see, God's will was fulfilled even through hardship. And I think as believers often, we often think it should just be easy, shouldn't it? We just want this nice, free and easy. And then when the going gets tough, that's where we crumble. But not Paul. Paul didn't crumble. He didn't crumble because he had such strong faith. He didn't crumble, he stood strong. So this verse, friends, to me was a reminder to us as a church, if something hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean God isn't working. God is shaping us before he opens that door. Faith rests not in outcomes, but in God's faithfulness. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul didn't know what was next, but he had faith in God that he would provide it. And he did, but in a very different way to probably what he expected. Amen. So let's just think about these scriptures this morning. Three verses is all we've done so far. I don't think I'm going to move on much further. But, do you know, I would encourage you to take those three verses and to study more and to really move backwards and forwards in your Bible as you study and look at those scriptures and delve in depth and really reflect on what those words mean. But just applying those three verses this morning, think about when there's been a time in your life that God has redirected your plans. Just like he did with Paul. Maybe there was an unexpected door that opened. That beautiful testimony from Ruth is part of that in itself. An unexpected door. Something that you've had to really stand strong in faith for. An unexpected door that may be opening soon for some of you. Amen. Or a door that may not have opened yet that you're still waiting for. A prayer that you've spoken and you're still standing strong in. That took time to be answered even partially. Keep that faith for the final outcome. Because he is faithful to answer. It may be that you've had a prayer and it's been a different answer. Just like Paul, something completely unexpected, a surprise. Something that was like, whoa, Lord, I did not expect that. In my mind, I was expecting this. Something completely different, but proved that God's wisdom and faithfulness is there, no matter what the circumstances around us. So think on that this morning as you leave and you move into this week. Think about Paul, and he burned and he desired to go to Rome. But he would not move. Not could not move. He would not move outside of God's will. He would not move. If we change that word to could, that's where the danger is. Because he could have chosen not to. But he would not move. And that's something that spoke to me as I thought on these scriptures. He would not move from God's will. And if you don't know and you're not sure what God's will is, spend time reading the word. And check those things in your mind that are coming in. Sometimes attacks from the enemies. Check it aligns with his word. Do not move. He would not move. Because, friends, that's real faith. Not demanding, not controlling, not rushing God. Paul teaches us to desire, but to be obedient. To have a vision, but submit to God's timing. And God's way is better than our urgency or anybody's way. And I trust all of you here, friends, but I wouldn't take all your advice because I would check it is in line with his will first. Praise God. Paul got to Rome, but he got there in chains. And yet the gospel, praise God, was unstoppable. It was unstoppable. What looks like delay may be divine positioning. And what feels like loss may actually be God's strategy. It's a time, friends, for our church to stand strong in our faith. And as your faith grows, that faith will be visible to others. I think about the community of Oral. I think about you all in your workplaces, for those of you that work. I think about you in your homes, in the people that you are supporting and advising and encouraging, that your faith, like Paul's faith, will show, and like the people of Rome, their faith will be talked about. Will your faith be talked about in Oral? Will your faith be talked about in your families? Is it a visible faith or an invisible faith? Is our service fueled by prayer or habit? Are we surrendered to God's will for our lives, or are we fighting him for control? Yield to his will in your lives, just as Paul did. Have that desire that he has put there, and let those flames roar, friends. Let them roar. Let the flames of faith roar within you, because he has good plans for each of you. Amen. 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 Amen.